in the beginning, which is a reference to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, which begins with the same phrase, in the beginning, which tells us about the beginning, how all things began. It began with darkness. As the breath of God hovered over the darkness of the deep, we hear the first word he spoke, let there be light. As he spoke his word over creation, reality was pulled apart in two pieces, and darkness gave way to light. And in doing so, the first movement of time came forth, a movement from evening towards morning. It was in that order, too. It was darkness first, then light. Darkness first, then light. This is the rhythm of creation, the movement from emptiness to fullness. This is obvious if you've ever seen a light in a dark room. Darkness isn't an actual thing. When we talk about darkness, we're talking about is what's missing. Darkness is the lack of light. But a single light, even a small match, can fill up an entire room. A single sun can fill our solar system sufficiently, even millions of miles away. This is so true of light that we sometimes associate it with completion and fullness. A new house isn't complete until the lights are on. If you drive by your favorite restaurant and the lights are off, you know it's not open for business. When God spoke his word and said, let there be light, it was his way of saying, the universe is now open for business. Things are starting to happen. He was, in a very literal way, making history. There's obviously a practical function of light, too. Namely, that by light we can see things. You walk into a room, and you want to see where you're walking, so you turn on the light. If you want to read a book, you make sure you're in a well-lit area. As you seek to read and understand the words on the page, the light shows those words to your eyes so you can contemplate them. All these things, all things, find their origin and meaning in God. And this is no less true for light. The psalmist writes in Psalm 36, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light?" God himself creates light, but he does so because light itself shares something with his own divine nature. The nature of light gives us some insight into the nature of God. John writes in one of his letters, "God is light, and in him is no darkness." Just as the creation of light gave birth to movement and time and history and fullness, so should we see that the movement away from darkness towards light is an image of God's active work in creation, to move it from formlessness and emptiness towards the fullness of his glorious presence. Through light, we see both the beauty of creation and through that, the beauty of the Creator whose imprint is shot through it. By the light of God, he shows his word to our hearts, that we can contemplate his divine magnificence and his incomprehensibility. The church has understood this for quite a long time. Light plays an essential part in our worship. We signify the beginning of the liturgy by lighting candles. When you see an acolyte walk in here and light the candles on the altar, it's our way of saying, pay attention. Something you want to see is going to happen. Some of the greatest architectural achievements are the Gothic era cathedrals, where buildings were designed so that light would pour into them, symbolizing the light of God poured into our hearts. Stained glass is a way that we pull light apart into its different wavelengths, showing that light is beautiful in its diversity as well as in its unity. It shows that light, both in its natural state and in all its colors, creates something more beautiful than it could if you left it in its unitary, plain simplicity. The early church fathers saw something like this in the Eucharist, in which the many become one, as become one Eucharistic body of Christ together. This is also one of my favorite images of Christ is the Christ we read about in the book of Revelation, with the throne surrounded by rainbows. The rainbow is misunderstood and misappropriated in popular culture. It is, after all, a revelation of the difference and variety that composes a single united thing. But the rainbow in its current use is a symbol of difference and variety for its own sake. Christians insist against this. That's only a half-truth. Diversity is not mere spice and flavor for its own sake, but rather points to something that transcends it. Light is sacramental in this way. It finds its meaning and purpose in the nature of God. The custom of Christmas lights is a great example of the Christian view of light. They do two things at once. First, they make your house look pretty. But at the same time, they have their own kind of intrinsic beauty. They both point to the things they are on and make them beautiful. You put them on your house and now your house looks nice. But they also draw attention to themselves as beautiful, even if there were no houses or bushes or trees to decorate. God is light. The light that shines upon the whole creation lets us see it in all its grandeur and beauty, its glory, and draws our eyes upward to its source, the greater light, God. Our gospel reading today in John 1 tells us that the same word that God spoke over those dark waters in the creation story of Genesis, the word that brings light into darkness, that creates time and space, that gives meaning and order to the entire universe, the word that shines with the burning glory of God does so because he was and is God himself. And he has now fully brought his light into darkness. That he has penetrated into the fabric of creation itself. He's become a man like us so that we can shine with the same glory and beauty that he does. This is what we are celebrating today. That the true light, which gives light to everyone, the very light which allows us to even see light, the light that light depends on in order to be light, the light we speak of when we say in the creed, light from light, that light has come into the world. To use the example I gave earlier, the Creator has turned on the lights, and now it's like the creation is open for business. We read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The same word that brought day out of night has come and is spreading his glory, the glory of the Father throughout the world. Our epistle reading from Hebrews describes this Son as the radiance of the glory of God. The Son is the radiating light pouring out from the Father. He has come and purified the world of the emptiness and darkness of sin, and brought us out of error into truth, and has taken his seat in the heavens, where he sits in a throne surrounded by rainbows. Our work in the church is to learn to gaze upon that light and love it so that we are filled with the same light and continually bring that light to the whole world so that at the end of history, it is like the image at the close of Scripture, in the book of Revelation. Darkness has finally given way to day, so that there is only one eternal day and one eternal city that shines throughout the entire universe with the light of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we say the creed.
Actually, this morning, before we say the creed, I'd like you to grab your green insert that you have in your leaflet. This is our Advent Creed Before the Creed. This was originally composed, put together by John Stott in 1966. And it's a compilation of scriptures pointing to the incarnation.